As we continue in our journey through winter, waiting for the cold weather to come in and preparing ourselves for that. In the meantime, we're going through our message series about opinions of the world and the truth that we can find, or how do we carry the truth, rather, into the world full of opinions. How do we be the believers? How do we be the body of Christ in a world that seems to either not want the truth or desires to recreate or redefine the truth? Kind of the focus on what we're looking at as we go forward. This morning, we talked, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jonah and his opinions getting in the way of God's desire for his work for the kingdom of God. Jonah was instructed to go and preach to the Ninevites, and because of his opinion about the Ninevites, he missed out on the blessing of being a part of what God is doing. Last week, we talked about Ezekiel and how his obedience to God's instruction was the key to being involved in the kingdom of God and being receiving the blessing of the kingdom of God, because he preached the gospel to the Israelites, whether they listened or not. God said, remember? He said, whether they listen to you or whether they don't listen to you, you're still to go and share the truth. Because they had sinned and have fallen away from God, and they were rebellious and stubborn is what the way it was described. And God wanted to get their attention using Ezekiel as the messenger. And he instructed Ezekiel to give the message, the truth, regardless if people received it or not. And we looked at the gospel message that we're to carry into the world to go make disciples, right? Living in the truth, sharing the truth, loving God and loving people, whether people listen or whether they don't listen. Okay. Now we go to Acts chapter 17 this morning, and we're going to look at not necessarily so much as how this part of Scripture and the truths that come out of it, what they mean to our spiritual lives, as much as what they mean to so that we can see the example of what it means to take the truth into the world, especially when the world is not wanting the truth, or the world isn't ready for the truth, or that the truth that you offer isn't the same truth that they're looking for. I'm going to give you a pause because I was a little bit of a riddle. The reality is, nothing has changed. In the time of Paul in Acts chapter 17, there was a world that, the Israelites were waiting for the Messiah, because God had promised the Messiah. God had made promises, and they knew that the promises were there, and they were waiting, rightfully waiting, for this to happen. And then there were the Gentiles who had no idea, because they didn't have God's word and they didn't have the things that the Israelites had to know some of the truth. And pretty much a lot of the people from both sides of those of that arena really weren't looking for the truth. Here's how I know. Because when Jesus was born in a manger, they rejected him as the Messiah. And they rejected him his entire life. How do I know that that happened? Because they crucified him on a cross. Because they didn't believe that he was the one that the Israelites were waiting for. So when the truth came in the flesh, it was rejected. And then when he resurrected from the dead, and in Acts chapter 2, we see that the power of the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, right? Pentecost. And they began to go into the world and preach the gospel, as was instructed previous to Jesus' death. Guess what happened? Persecution. Right, even when the times when they were preaching that Jesus is the Christ, and the people said, okay, we'll believe that, but we're not going to believe in this resurrection stuff. We're not going to accept the changing of the way things have always been, so much so that people started to get killed over it, and beaten, and persecuted, and thrown in jail, right? And that's where we find Paul in this chapter. He's doing his ministry. He's going into the world and preaching the gospel. The truth, he's preaching the truth that he, at one time before this, was killing people over. Right? Why am I saying all of this? And what does it have to do with going into the world and bringing truth into this world and this culture, right? And making disciples, as we're required to do, as we're called to do. Well, we live in this world full of modern day gnashing of teeth. We live in a world where I believe that everybody out there is looking for what's real. Everybody out there is looking for some kind of truth that they can stand on. Yet many are rejecting the truth about Jesus being Lord of all and Savior of all. Would y'all agree with that, maybe? Doesn't it seem that way? Doesn't it seem harder and harder to get people to believe that Jesus is the Christ? Doesn't it seem harder and harder to receive the truth in a world where being a Christian isn't very popular? So how do we do this? How do we carry the truth into the world, whether they listen to it or whether they don't? How do we separate our own opinions about other people so that we can go and effectively deliver the truth the way that Jesus died for us to be able to do? How do we do this? Well, number one thing is we are led by the Spirit of God. All of the ones in recorded in the book of Acts that were preaching the gospel, taking the gospel around the world, people were getting saved, other people were rejecting it. All of that was happening under the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's what the book of Acts, it's not the Acts of Paul, it's not the Acts of the disciples, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Is what the book of Acts is all about. It's the same Holy Spirit that lives in all believers even yet today. The same Holy Spirit that will lead us into the world of gnashing of teeth in a society where truth isn't really wanted unless it's comfortable and looks exactly like what they think it should be. So how do we do it? You know, there's a lot of churches that are being planted right now. Some of our churches are planting other churches around the world, even in our right here in our nation. And I think that's great. If the Lord is leading people to go and start churches so that people will know Jesus is the Christ and be able to have an opportunity to be saved and receive this truth, then let's get behind that and support that. Let's pray for that. Let's participate in that. Meanwhile, all of the other churches that aren't new church plants are still doing the same work, aren't we? In fact, here we are in a new decade. We seem like we're the same people that we were last decade. However, we're doing the same mission, but the community is changing, isn't it? In our situation, this community is changing rapidly. The people that live here aren't the people that lived here 5, 10, 20 years ago. And you can look at that whichever way you want to look at that. I would encourage you to look at that as an awesome opportunity to take the truth into this community for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the lost souls, for the sake of honoring God. The problem is, the way we used to preach and teach and make disciples 50 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago, doesn't work anymore, does it? Because people are different. Different generations of people react to different things, different cultures, different ideas. Tommy pointed it out in our communion meditation, didn't he? Even when I was growing up, we didn't have all that distraction. We were distracted by our bicycles and whatever we could play with in the dirt. That was it. We were distracted by each other. Now we're all distracted by technology and advancements. The world is going so fast. How do we present the truth? How can we go and make disciples? Let's read Acts chapter 17 for a little bit. And starting in verse 16, really I'm going to point out verse 15. Verse 15 says, the men who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. So now, setting the scene that Paul is in Athens waiting for some guys to join him as they continue in their mission and in what they're doing and making their way to Rome eventually. Everything that we read about the ministry of Paul is about how he went around the world proclaiming the truth. And almost every time he did it, it was a little bit different. But what we want to see today is that it was presented different, but it was the same truth. And that's the key, isn't it? How do we take the gospel, the truth about Jesus, into this world without compromising its integrity? How can we present it in just a way? How do we package it in a way that would get someone's attention without changing the integrity of the truth? Right. Now, I can write a sermon and present a sermon, and I can, whatever can happen, that the Spirit would allow me to preach that sermon in the best way possible, and people would get saved that would hear it. But maybe somebody else that would preach that exact same sermon might not be able to present it in the same way. And maybe I can't present it the same way they do in a different place in the world. But God knows what He's doing, and He has us right where we are so that we can do what He wants us to do. That's why we have to know who's living around us. That's why we have to know what they're about. Look what it says in verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Made an assessment about what was going on around him. We talked about it this morning. We have to know who we're talking to, who we're dealing with, and how to communicate with them. We have to see things the way Jesus sees things. So then verse 17 says, so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as the marketplace, or in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. So this is 16 and 17. He's waiting for something. He's not like clocked out, like I'm not working right now as a Christian. He's just waiting for some guys to show up so they can continue on their journey. But in the meantime, he's looking around and seeing what's going on in the world. And he's like, okay, this doesn't honor God. These people don't know God. He noticed that they have idols everywhere. Gods, little gods that they made, statues and different things that they have created out of whatever they made them out of. And they were worshiping in particular time in Athens, they worshiped every god there was to worship just in case. Because they were philosophers and thinkers and idea people. They would talk to each other and share ideas and try to learn from each other, and they were intellectual people. So they were to the point where they were like, well, let's just set up gods for every god so that everybody can worship whoever they want to worship, or we can worship them all so that we make sure we have them all. It's like fire insurance. Isn't that the way the world works today? Everyone believes, and I say everyone in general, society in general, we believe that if we can just take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and everything over here and put it all on the plate, and we act like it's some big spiritual buffet to make our own religion. And so that we don't offend everybody else, we say, okay, we believe in God, but we also believe in this, this, and this. And just so happens that whatever this, this, and this is, it totally dishonors God. In fact, sometimes it's even witchcraft and evil stuff. And you can't mix the two. The truth is the truth, and it can't be changed. And if we try to change it or try to make it look different, make it be something else so that we're comfortable with it or that the world's comfortable with it, it's like if I'm going to go to someone and say, Jesus is the Christ, and you need to know this because I love you and the Lord loves you, and if you leave this world today, you will not be with God, and that will not be good for you. And if I try to package that in a way that doesn't hit them in the forehead, that makes them my best friend, and makes them come to the church and join the membership and put money in the plate and so that we can have a full church or whatever the case is, but I'm changing the truth to make that happen, I'm doing a disservice to those people because they will not know the truth and they will not have an opportunity to be saved. And I will answer to God for that. So we need to know how to go into the world, present the truth in a way that people will see it, will actually look at it, pay attention to get people's attention. We can deliver it differently as long as we don't compromise what it is. So look at Paul does. Here we are in verse 19 and 20. Skip down there. says, then they took him, these are all the philosophers and all of the thinkers and all of the smart people in those days, and they were really smart and intelligent, and they would share great ideas. It says, then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? Right? Verse 20 says, you are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we want to know what they mean. The reason we're studying this scripture today is because I want y'all to know what God wants you to do. It's more than just saying Jesus is the Christ and God loves you and John 3:16 to everybody in the world. Okay? It's more than just throwing scripture out the door and hoping somebody comes running in with it. Our goal is to share life with people outside the walls of this church. So much so to the point where they come to you and they start asking you, tell me about this God that you worship. Tell me about this God that you talk about all the time, or this God that makes you live the way that you live. Tell me, why is it that you don't get offended when everybody else in the world is getting offended? How come you're different? What is it? Because people are looking for truth. Even still today, they're looking for truth. The truth of the Bible is the most rejected truth there is in the world, because it's actually true. And it's hard to take. The truth that man comes up with, all the different ideas of the world, the different, even the false Christian ways, how you can have God and your sin too, kind of truth, right? The compromising that goes on around the world, even in the church. That kind of truth will pack a church full of people. If we wanted to preach that kind of truth, we better start building on to this building. If we want to preach a truth that says everybody can live the way they want to live and still go and be with God in the end, we might as well go ahead and start building now. Because that's what everyone wants. But Paul says, no, I'm not going to, this isn't right. This is dangerous for them. They're worshiping other gods, and there's only one God, and he'll have no other God. So he began to teach them. He went to them in their town, in their church, in their community. He didn't put up a big sign and said, come to my house and listen to my truth. He went to them and learned about them, and then talked about what they know. And put the truth right in the middle of it all. Now you see where we're going. How do we go and make disciples in this world? This culture that's so fast-paced, that doesn't seem to really want the truth, even though they seek the truth. Wouldn't know the truth if it hit him in the face. Right? And I'm guilty as anybody else when it comes to being distracted by today's world and the way we live. I don't know how many times my wife will get up and leave the room, even in that small place where we live, and I haven't even noticed because I'm looking at my phone or something. And then all of a sudden I put the phone down, I'm looking around, where'd she go? It's the way people live. So they came to him and they're like, hey, we're going to take you to the big dogs. We're going to take you to the inner circle and we're going to sit down because we want to know about this God that you talk about. It's strange teaching to us. We don't understand it. And many times people today, in today's society, when they come to ask you, it's because they're looking for ways to make sure that it's not true. They don't really want it to be true. They're like, tell me more about that because that's not what I believe. And they want a challenge. But those who are firm in their faith, those who are study their Bible, those who spend time with God, those who pray always, those who are unswerving from what the Bible says, are going to be able to talk to them in a way where they have to accept this truth. Or answer to God why they don't. So go to verse 21. He says, All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Do y'all think that happens today? I think it does. It's called social media. No matter which form it is, social media is where people share opinions and ideas. Everybody's promoting what they think is important or what they think is interesting or attacking what they think is wrong. That is the new town square. That's what it is. There's nothing wrong with being there, nothing wrong with participating in social media. It's not sinful to do that. In fact, we are called to go into the world. This is why I'm perfectly fine with and promote putting our messages on social media. And I love it when some of our members share it on their social media. Why? Because you're putting the truth in front of the world where they are. You're meeting people where they are. I wish we could just go out in the coffee shops and the restaurants and have those social interactions face to face. But we all know that everybody's got their face on those screens, right? And it's not wrong. We just have to go into the marketplace. We have to go into the world. We have to go into the businesses, go into the homes, go into the world and share life with people without compromising who we are in the truth. That's the goal. So here we are in 22 and 23. Here's how Paul reacted to what had happened. They were inviting him in to share the truth. If you ever have that moment with someone it's not part of your church, or maybe it's not a believer, if you ever have that moment, it should be an exciting moment, because you're like, ooh, I thought you never would ask me about my God, because I can't wait to tell you. In fact, I'll buy lunch so we can sit down and talk about God. Whatever it takes to get someone's attention. So verse 22 says, Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, look at this exclamation point after this next sentence. He says, men of Athens. That's him saying, I'm so glad that you just asked me about my God. Why is he so excited about it? One, because he's madly in love with Jesus. And two, because he realizes that what he's been forgiven of is totally amazing. Remember, he was Saul, who used to kill people for believing this, right? And then he's got the Spirit of God leading him, and he's watched people be saved. His whole mission is preaching the gospel, watching people believe, and then almost being killed for it. And he's like, oh, I'm so glad you invited me in here to tell you about God. And he says, I see that in every way you are very religious. If Paul were here today, I think he would stand up and say to the world, I see that in every way you're seeking the truth. You're looking for what's right. That's what religious people do. We're not religious people. We're people saved by the blood of Christ. We're born again believers. We're the body of Christ. All right, so he says, for as I walk around and look carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, to an unknown God. And he says, now what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you. Notice what Paul did. He evaluated, not judgmentally, he just evaluated what was going on. And he looked at all of these gods around the area that they were at. And he noticed, they're like, here's a god. Here they have this altar set up to this god that they don't even know. Remember I said fire insurance? Just in case? Right? Just in case I'm wrong, let's worship whatever god might be out there that we don't know about. That's in case we don't know something. Let's worship the unknown. And he's like, well, let me tell you about this unknown God. Who you think is unknown or can't be known, he's real. And he went from verse 24 all the way to verse 31 and preached the gospel because they invited it. The most powerful witness that we could have in this world as far as making disciples, as far as sharing the truth with this world who believes that there's more than one truth or there's more than one way to be in the presence of God. The most powerful witness, that the most effective way to share the gospel is when someone invites you to share it. Earn the right to be heard about it by sharing life with them, by showing interest in their life. Who are they? What are they about? What do they think about? How do they live life? And talk about those things. The gospel is everywhere. Talk about what they believe. Learn about what they believe and why do they believe. The Spirit of God will reveal the opportunities to point to God and all of that. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a Bible college graduate. You just have to be a person who believes that Jesus is the Christ, repented of sins, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and being studying up in His Word and pay attention to the Spirit of God. That's all it takes. Because the Spirit of God will say to you, say this, react about this, point to me here, and do it in a way that loves. Right? How many times have you been in a situation and afterward you're saying the Lord must have given me the words to say to this person because that would have never happened otherwise? I don't know how many times people have been in front of me in a lot of situations, and if the Spirit of God didn't give me some guidance, I would have totally messed up somebody's life. Instead, the wrong things in the wrong ways. We're people who are led by the Spirit of God. See, Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. He didn't say, unless the world is horrible and full of gnashing of teeth and doesn't want to receive the gospel and they don't care about me. He didn't say that. He said, go into the world and make disciples. And remember, last week, was Justin pointed out, last week he said, and I'll go with you. Remember, he said, I'm going to go with you. Because he knows that we're not going to do any work. We're just going to be obedient like Ezekiel. And we know that because just like Ezekiel, they're not going to hear it. Some of them aren't going to hear it. They're not going to receive it. Some of them might. Some will. And as long as we can be obedient and we can discipline ourselves to not have our own opinion about the people that God brings into our life for the sake of sharing the gospel, there will be times, plenty of times, because here's the thing. The Spirit of God isn't only working on us. If God gives you an opportunity to witness, He's working on them too. He's preparing the field for the seed. Let's let God have His way. Verse 27, I just want to point this out. It says, God did this so that men would seek Him. This is part of His sermon that He preached to them. This is what He said. Let me tell you about this unknown God. Right? Let's go back to verse 24 first. He said, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. That's an attention getter. That's an opening statement for a sermon right there, because they had made their own gods. They created them with their own hands. Everything that was there, they created. And He just slammed all that into the ground in a loving way because they asked. He's like, the God that I'm going to tell you about isn't a God that was created by men's hands. In fact, this God is the one that created men. Right? That's what we're doing here. We're not trying to tear people down. We're not trying to beat people down because they don't know the truth or they're wrong about the truth or they believe something that's not true. We love people. And we want them to have the opportunity to know the absolute truth. The only truth about who God is and salvation and everything that comes with it. We love them enough, so why wouldn't we gently insert the truth into their life? Why wouldn't we do everything we can to look for opportunities, little pieces of time here and there spent with others to say, oh, that's God right there. You don't have to preach the whole gospel. You can just point God out. It comes in moments. And they don't have to agree with you. It's not our job. And He is not, verse 25 says, He is not served by human hands as if He needed anything, because He Himself gives men life and breathe breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and exact places where he should live. That's verse 26. Verse 27, God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Notice he's constantly reminding them of what they already study, what they already think, what they already know. But he's also saying, all of this stuff that you've created, you're wasting your time with that. Nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. Nobody likes to be corrected. That's why when we share the gospel and we share the truth and we witness, it has to be in a way that's gentle and loving and caring. Just point God out. Let the Spirit of God do all of the rest that needs done. When someone is so stubborn that they won't receive the gospel, they won't receive what's true because they can't admit that they were wrong, that's between that person and God to deal with. It's our calling to love people, period. Even stubborn people who cannot receive the truth because it's hard, because it means that they have to humble themselves. You want to know the easiest way to get over that, not being able to love people, is look in the mirror at another stubborn person that God loved anyway, right? Because I know everybody in this room has got somebody on their list of people that wish they would get saved if they're not saved. And they're not saved because it's not because they haven't heard the truth, it's because they're stubborn. And they won't give in to God. For whatever reasons, they're stubborn. Well, here's a news flash. You and I and everybody else are just as stubborn as they were and are. If that weren't the case, we would have never sinned. All right. Love y'all. Wasn't trying to get hard on you. Look at verse 30. He's starting to close this sermon. He says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. So in the past, God was patient because God had a plan. God was bringing Jesus into the world so that people could be saved. So he was patient with the stubbornness. But now that the plan of salvation is in place and there's a call to repentance and salvation is accessible, the truth is applied, then we're not tolerating that anymore. Right? Here's when God's patience runs out with somebody. When it comes to the gospel, God's patience runs out when a person takes their last breath. And if you haven't submitted to the truth at that moment, that is the only time that God and his plan of salvation will not be true for you. And it's not because God didn't love you. It's not because God doesn't want you to be with him. It's because you chose to reject what's true. You see the urgency of the gospel here? Even our young people, and I mean young people like anybody who's younger than 80, who is guaranteed the rest of this day? Anything can happen at any moment where everybody in this room, or one or two people in this room, everybody in this community, or one or two or three people in this community will stand before the Lord. And he's either going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or get away from me, I never knew you. And it has nothing to do with whether or not he loved that person or not. It has everything to do whether or not that person received what is true. It's our job to go into the world and share what is true. And the reality is that as time goes by and as cultures change and generations change, the presentation of that truth has to be adjusted so that it can be heard. But it has to be adjusted in such a way that it's never compromised. That's disciple making. We got to get out of the way by adjusting our opinions. We talked about this in our Sunday morning Bible study about what we think, how we look at how the world looks at everybody else, how we look at each other. How we need to get to the point where we see the world the way God sees the world. And then once we do that, we'll stand and preach the gospel and live the gospel and share the truth, no matter if they listen or not. And we'll give God the glory, no matter what happens. Because it's urgent, isn't it? We can't just say, well, they're not coming to church because they're on the cell phone all the time. They're not coming to church because they don't live like we do. And God's saying, okay, well, that might be true, but get out there anyway. Find a way to get their attention. Find a way to love them anyway. Find a way to worship me with them somewhere. Right? He never said, create a group of people who are same as you and do same as you and receive the truth the same as you. He said, go into the world and make disciples, love people, and I'll go with you. I like to read about Paul. I like to look at what Paul did in his ministry. He was a very smart and intelligent person. He was madly in love with God. He understood the grace that was extended to him. He understood that he did not deserve to be loved by God. But he also understood that everybody in the world was in the same boat that he's in. And he wasn't afraid to go into any room full of any kind of people in any part of the world and be who he is in Christ. And if we think about it, if we hesitate, we're bound to do it wrong. If we make up our minds every morning, Lord, help me have opportunities to love people the way you would want me to love people so that they can see the truth. Help me to present the truth in such a way that it would pique their interest and maybe even ask for more information. I pray that this church would continue in the efforts that we're making to make disciples and make an impact in this community, that people would see what we do in the way that we live our lives in the community, but also in the way that we present ourselves on the internet, because that's where people are, to where they say, I got to go find out some more about the God that they worship. I want to know about that. Not because we're awesome, not because we're special, but because God is God, and people are looking for the truth. And I want people to know, or at least suspect, that they can come here and maybe find that truth. Because that's what leads to salvation in the hearts of men and women around the world. And be honest with you, as much as I love this church, and I want people to come to this church, if one person gets saved because somebody said something about the truth in this church, it's all worth it, even if they never come here, even if they never come in this building. You never know how many people are going to get saved because of who we are and how we do things. It's not about saying, look at us. It's not about promoting Oak Grove Christian Church. It's about bringing glory to God and saying, we know the truth, and we're confident that it is true. And here's the thing, saying it and living it are two different things. We're going to have invitation in just a moment.
What you're saying, go back to Ezekiel where you said last week, the third chapter, and then you go to the 33rd chapter, it says in there in a roundabout way that if you tell those people, you're free.
Right.
If not, the blood's on you because you didn't tell
them. Yeah, blood's on your hands. If you don't, if we believe what the truth is, basically what he's saying is he's pointing out that if we believe, then we'll go and make disciples. If you don't go make disciples, do you really believe? Right? Y'all ready to sing? Let's stand together. We're going to sing. It was shared in chapter 2 of Acts. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, You should repent of your sins. That just means stop being a sinner. I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I don't want to rebel against God. And it says to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins so that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who helps you go and make disciples. If you need that today, come forward. Ready?